Hello, my friends, and good Thursday morning to you. Thank you so much for being with us today. My name is Roger, and behind the scenes is my wife, Angie, and together we're the Barnabas Bridge. We've had a topic this week that we began in Philippians chapter 4, and it was a statement that Paul made that he said that he had learned to be content in any and every situation. And so we thought it'd be a good idea as believers moving through this century if we could figure out how Paul had learned that. And I think that, as you would agree, we're only going to find our answers to that question digging through scriptures and relating it to how God instructs us to deal with such things. On Tuesday, we began looking at some pitfalls that messes up our contentment in this world. And one of them truly is looking for satisfaction or contentment in worldly gain. Yesterday, we looked at something else that is a stumbling block, and that is physical and emotional pain. Most certainly, that disrupts our contentment. And so we looked into Scripture, hoping to find at least the starting point for us to start working through, and like Paul, learning to be content, even in physical and emotional pain. So today, I want to address one more thing that is certainly a pitfall in our contentment in this world and in this life, and that is, how do we deal with relational hurts? Because that can often take our focus away, because sometimes it's such a powerful draw on our emotions and on our thoughts and even our peace, these relational hurts. But as long as we don't deal with those and figure out how to take care of it, we are contentment handicapped, so to speak. Now, I know that each one of our stories that in this idea of relational hurts and the dealings that we have with people that we love so intensely sometimes that fail us, they're unique and they're varied. And some of us and some of you have some just incredibly painful memories of dealing with these things, and they're alive today. And they're touch points that we can't properly identify and work through in just a 10-minute morning message. But it's in Scripture, and if we have a starting point at least, maybe we can find that and start working through Scripture and find the answers to God, from God, and how to do this and even find contentment in this in any and every situation, even when we have been hurt badly by people that we love. And so in this short time that we have together, I don't think that we would be far off to say that we are going to start from backwards working forward. And the last thing that we developed in these relational hurts is maybe an inability to forgive. But if we learn how to forgive and the desire to at least begin to learn to forgive, then perhaps we can get over this relational hurts and get back to the point where God allows us to see clearly, and there we find contentment in our lives. A place where I don't know if you would guess that we're going to go to this morning is in Matthew chapter 6. And it's verses 9 through 13. And it's Jesus speaking, and he's teaching the people how to pray. And everybody has heard the Lord's Prayer. And inside, tucked in there, though, is a powerful message about forgiveness. And so I want to read what Jesus said that day, and this is how you pray. And because I think that in the entirety of it, there's a contentment being spoke of throughout. And the desire and the need for forgiveness is perhaps the stumbling block that cancels out that contentment that Jesus is speaking of. In verse number 9, he says, "This is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." That evil one, deliver us from the evil one, is the one that keeps bringing up those old hurts, that old failures in relationship, that old emotional pain of being hurt. And so we signal first this forgiveness of God to us. We say, "God, forgive us our sins, our trespasses, our debts, And God is faithful, and He surely is filled with grace and mercy, and He does forgive. Holy. Without reservation. He gives us full forgiveness in Christ for the worst of our sins and for all of our sins. And so we might be moved to say, well, you know, I don't have any great sins in my life. Well, brother and sister, let me assure you that the ugliness of the cross is a great representation of just how bad your sin and my sin was. But Christ endured that in order to allow us the ability to be forgiven. But in that also, He gives us the template of forgiveness, doesn't He? He offers us that forgiveness exactly then as we should offer that same type of forgiveness to others. If He took on our sins as the rebels and the hurt that we had caused Him, He did it enough so much that we repented, and now we claim standing right before God our Father. What He did for us, how could we hold back that same forgiveness or that offer lack of forgiveness in our hearts towards others? Because the other part of that prayer is, Father, forgive us as we forgive our debtors, our trespasses, those who have sinned against us. It's an amazing thing, isn't it? I don't know where your mind is going, but if it is, yeah, but you don't know what they did. Believe me, my friends, I don't know your particular situation, but none of us have gone through this world unscathed by these relational hurts. But what we need to know, what Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says, is that while we were sinners, Christ chose to die for us. And in this, God proves His love for us. You see, it is His love that reached out to us. And it wasn't contingent that we got it right or that we were good or that we had forgiven or asked for forgiveness or anything. Christ climbed that cross before I realized what I had done. Importance of forgiveness. Jesus is teaching the people who were listening that day, and now us all these years later, how to pray. But just the chapter before, in verse number 5, or excuse me, chapter number 5, in verse number 23, Jesus says this about forgiveness. If you are offering your gift at the altar, if you're offering your prayer, if you're on your knees and you're praying to God, and you realize there, you remember your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to your brother, then come and offer your gift. Reconcile with your brothers and sisters. Forgive them. But it's not contingent on them forgiving you back. But it is you demonstrating the same love and forgiveness and reconciliation that God gave you, that you now claim and can be sure of eternal forgiveness, one undeserved and one unfiltered, but one that came unencumbered. Forgive us our debts, Lord, as we learn to forgive others and therefore find contentment when we release our stumbling block of relational hurts. So the question I have for you today, folks, as we leave, what measures can you take today in your life to forgive the offenses of others that will begin right now to restore their contentment in Christ that was given to you at the foot of the cross on that day you asked Him to be your Lord and Savior? I'm going to work on that one myself, because it's not easy and this is difficult, but God promises to be faithful and just. Let's say a prayer. God in heaven, I thank you for this day and this message. I thank you that you came to earth and prayed in front of us and taught us how to pray. But I also thank you so much that I asked for forgiveness and you were faithful. Lord, teach me and the rest of us, all of us, how to be more faithful when it comes to forgiving others so that we can hear you and so that we can be your light and your salt on this earth, so that we can find true and lasting contentment even this side of heaven. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Take care, my friends, and we'll see you tomorrow, God willing. Bye.